Hey, if it's Monday, that cheerful voice on the line helps you know what day it is. It's Annie Dugan, our host for Where's Art. Howdy there, sunshine.
Good morning, Lisa. Well, you gave me some homework assignments.
I did.
Last week. And like many of us, I did not complete my homework assignments. I think in the time of COVID, there is a different piece to life, and everything that you set out for, you may not achieve, and that's okay.
Now,
this is my PSA of being able to let things go. But I did want folks to know that that hanging artwork could be a wonderful project in their home, and so I did send Lisa a link with a lot of really good information. And someone professionally doing a professional video of how to hang work. So,
well, from the standpoint that you have been a curator, you have been a professional hanger of art yourself.
Yes, yes. Although I am not an interior designer. It's interesting because I think that there is a difference between hanging artwork in your home and hanging artwork in a gallery exhibition space. There's just different factors to consider. I mean, one of the big things that you hear over and over again is hanging work at eye level. And typically in a gallery, that's, you know, around 57 inches. But in our house, it's quite a bit higher because I live with someone who is 6 feet, 6 inches tall. And so his eye level is going to be much higher than someone else's. So I think it's interesting that you can have these very different, and you know, in a home, you might want to have a lot of disparate items together. You know, it's all about what is pleasing to you in your home versus a gallery space. You have different things to contend with in a home, like furniture.
I'm kind of curious about that, though. What an interesting topic to bring up, because even if you are hanging things in a gallery, you don't want to hang everything necessarily at the same height. You don't want everything to be boring. There needs to be a way to set off the artwork in an interesting way in a gallery. But you want to do the same at home.
You do. I'm going to interrupt you there, but because
please do.
In a gallery setting, you really want, you know, I feel like my job as a curator is to, I am in service to the artwork, and the artwork, the artwork is strong enough that it can hold its own, and everything else should be, it should not be a distraction to the artwork. So, you do want, you know, in general, and I have broken these rules numerous times. These are guidelines, and you know, you create an exhibition that is trying to let the artwork speak for itself and being in support of the artwork. So you don't want to have like your vision clashing with that of the artwork. So you want to have an exhibition that, you know, typically the reason that you hang everything at the same height, the reason that it's, you know, usually white or a color that is not distracting, is because the artwork itself should be strong enough on its own, and everything else sort of falls away, and you have some uniformity to things that let the artwork sort of breathe.
What they say in the theater is pulling focus, and you don't want anything else to pull focus from the artwork.
Exactly.
But at home, to an extent,
you
I'm so delighted with the way that we've gotten smarter about lighting and put a lot of recessed lightings and spots in newer homes so that you really can highlight artwork or maybe a collection of family photos or something that's special to you. You can make light that most magical, life-altering, mood-altering of things.
Be the one that is speaking exactly.
Yeah, I love that part. So at home, you kind of want to do the same thing, but, you know, you still got grandma's chest that's in the living room, and it's really gorgeous, and people may look at that before they look at the pictures of the kids or, you know, fill in the blank.
Well, it's sort of, at a home, I feel like it's sort of a Wunderkammer. So exhibitions, one of the sort of sources of exhibitions were these WonderCommer cabinets of curiosities. And in a home, you know, you can have this wonderful different collection of things that, you know, are important to you. You know, it might be a seashell that you found on the beach when you took a walk with your mom. You know, they are imbued with personal traits, and so you can have this real wonderful, crazy collection of disparate items around you. And you know, one of the things of the way that you can present them in a home that allows for order and amidst the chaos, so to speak, is putting up a grid. So last week, you know, you talked about, well, I have a set of these all white frames to arrange my photographs in, right? All these different photographs.
All of these family photographs. They're all printed up at 4x6. They're all printed up in black and white. And I bought from the dollar store, I bought like a gazillion of these 4x6 frames in white.
Yes. So you can, I mean, anytime you can employ a grid and then have items within that grid, I think is a nice way of doing it, because then you can let the grid forms sort of this space to quiet the mind in order to take on each individual item.
Okay, one last thing about picture frames. I saw a movie last night where one of the characters had taken a bunch of, I suppose, 4x6 or 3x5 photos, put them in identical frames, and then made the shape of a dog with these frames. And for reasons known only to the movie, the other characters had to get rid of all these family photos, so they had to dismantle this dog super fast and get all these photos out of the way. But I looked at it and I thought, I've never even thought of that. And having seen it, I'm still not considering it.
I can't quite picture it, but I am sure it was.
I'll send you a link and the information, or I'll see if I can get you a screenshot, because it was sort of astonishing.
It.
Yeah. So what else you got up your sleeve this week?
So this is a great segue, because the design students at UMD have created an online gallery. So, you know, a gallery that you can walk through with your two fingers and your mouse. Their assignment was to create work that highlights the success stories of rescue animals for the Douglas County Humane Society. And so they've created this wonderful virtual exhibition where they've hung the work on the walls. You know, they used almost like we've seen a rise in Second Life again. This was a program that was really popular like in the late 90s. Or early 2000s, and now it's sort of come back. So it's not Second Life, but it's like that, where you walk into this gallery space. And the title of the exhibition is Lend a Paw, and the works, they have a really wonderful selection of these poster designs highlighting these amazing animals. So it's a neat thing to check out, because not only is the artwork great, it's also fun to explore what virtual galleries look like these days. And then speaking of virtual galleries, I sent Lisa a link that I think is a wonderful read for folks who are interested in what is the art world going to look like after this crisis. So, you know, I think there was already a point in the art world where we were seeing institutions questioned, you know, that systemic issues of racism and inequities were existent in the art world. And there was sort of this, you know, we had talked about this even before the crisis, Lisa, that bigger institutions were trying to grapple with the fact that they had played a role in these, and how are they going to move forward? And I think that this time is really it's an incredible disruption, and it's one that is going to inform how museums go forward after this. And I think that we can all be thinking right now, how do we form an art world that we see is fair and that is connected to our community and is going to be equitable and share voices. So I think it's with our time of contemplation at the moment, we can start to think of that and think about it for our own region. I think the Minnesota State Arts Board and the Arrowhead Regional Arts Council are both trying to grapple with this new reality and think about it as well. So I encourage everyone to envision what their beautiful future of art and the art world might be.
There was a fascinating story this morning on Minnesota Native News about a group of Native artists and people who work with the arts, and ACO's Indigenous First gift shop was represented at this online meeting, and they were talking about exactly that. Also, I think some of the more immediate concerns were being addressed about how Native artists can continue to make a living right now, but they were talking about a generational difference with some of the older artists, where a lot of the sales were made in person and they came from personal, appearing at powwows or appearing at different festivals and personal contacts. And for these folks, going online, creating a virtual gallery for their work, that sort of thing, was either something that they didn't know how to do. Maybe they didn't have the tools to do it. Maybe they didn't have the access to computers or the internet in order to do it. And so that must have been a really interesting conversation. And certainly the report about it was fascinating. And of course, ACO, here's ACO right out on the cutting edge, you know, of everything.
Absolutely.
ACO is just moving with getting this work online and the ability of people to see what they have going down there. But it was a fascinating discussion to get to listen to this morning on the show.
Oh, for sure. No, that fits right along with everything else. Yep. Fabulous. Thank you, Lisa.
All right. You're still not off the hook.
Oh, dear.
Okay. Because I come from
I thought I had escaped.
I come from that generation of teachers that my dad would have pushed his glasses a little bit down and looked over the top and said, "You what?" And you would have. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm not my dad, but still, you have.
All right.
You've got a certain amount of time, and you've got a cast of characters over there that you can get to perform. And I, for one, Truman, he's a tractor savant. I'd like to get his take on hanging pictures.
There we go. All right.
I'd like to get his take on hanging pictures that his dad could see comfortably.
Okay. Well,
looking forward to that.
The challenge has been continued. I've gotten an extension. I've earned myself a week extension.
An extension get. All right. Thanks a million, Annie.
Thanks, Lisa. Bye-bye.
Annie Dugan making our Mondays brighter, as she always does, right here on KUMD.